Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Jordana.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen. And hello, guys. What's up?
We're in studio today.
How exciting.
So we're looking at each other for those who are listening, which is everybody.
Yes.
You know. Eye contact.
Yeah. Heavy eye contact. Jordana and Aileen are both wearing gray.
I'm wearing all gray.
It is a gray day.
I'm wearing a grout fit.
She's grout fit because it's raining today.
I can't. With the weather has been rainy. I walked somewhere this morning and I didn't realize it was raining. I'm not.
No umbrella.
No umbrella.
I fucking hate umbrellas.
They're the worst. Do you think there'd be a better invention by now?
I like a hood.
It depends on the hood. How has nobody improved umbrellas and duvet covers?
I know.
Where are the inventors of our age?
And also just like the weather. Like we can't control the weather yet. It's 2022. Like we're just
it's
like
23.
Whatever. 2023.
Even more
inappropriate. It's like it's 2023. We've invented so many things, but still everyone's like everyone wakes up every day to see what randomly the weather is. Like we can't control that as a group.
No,
it's barbaric.
I feel like I understand why we as humans haven't been able to control the planet's weather. That I understand. But why there aren't better protections against the weather within
humans.
Would you
guys wear like a device on your head that was like an umbrella?
That exists.
But would you wear it?
No.
But
I think no, because it would like mess your hair up.
So embarrassing. Oh, yeah.
No, because it's embarrassing.
And that. But like, if everyone did it, then it wouldn't be embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's like Kylie Jenner.
It was like masks.
Yeah. If everyone was doing it, it's not embarrassing.
Yeah, but like masks were to prevent the spread of a pandemic.
It was just to spread,
prevent the spread of
water in it. Water all over your clothes and shit.
It's the beauty of essence.
Right, but that's why you have a hood or an umbrella. But I think that if like Kylie Jenner came out wearing like a Fendi umbrella hat, they would become popular.
I could see that.
Yeah. Right? I would do it.
Like but she would wear one with the F's on
but
it.
But like a cool bucket hat, truly bucketing out.
Oh. Right. I also feel, I don't know how there's not more like eye pokes per year with umbrellas. Like how do more people not get their eyes poked out by other people's umbrellas?
You would need, if it was on your head, you would need it to be very wide and then it would like knock into people, which is the issue with umbrellas generally.
Yeah.
Well, maybe people shouldn't be that close to your personal space anyway.
Well, they have a thing.
In the city, you can't.
They shouldn't be that close to your personal space.
Yeah.
They invented something with like, there's a backpack.
Poncho.
And like out of the backpack is an umbrella instead of on your head.
Oh. And you have to wear a backpack.
Yeah.
But that's easier, I think, than something on your head.
I like the bucket hat idea.
It's gonna be Prada.
You would look good in that brand. But it doesn't need to. Here's the thing. It doesn't need to be like as big as an umbrella. It could be like to here. You see, almost like a sombrero. With
a rain sombrero?
No. Like the wind of a sombrero. Like, you know how it like goes out more?
Then you don't want like the water accumulating around your head.
No, it wouldn't. It would be sloped from the top. Like a
cone?
No, that's too coney. More like a rounded cone. Or like an oblong sphere with a pointy tip.
The thing about that is that you don't protect like a lot of your clothes or
no, you do, because
your bag.
You know what? Your bag has to get its own raincoat.
Yeah.
You know a raincoat? Yeah, that raincoat. But
anyway.
No, but I do think that this is the way.
Okay.
And to prevent eye pokes, they should cover them in plastic, like baby proof them.
Innovations.
No, someone do this.
Innovations.
We're not going to be.
I feel like it can't be done, or it would have been done by now.
No, it can be done.
But that's what they said about changing mattresses and disrupting the mattress industry.
Well,
that's what they said about curing polio. I'm sure. Like, and that's their coming
all right, back. Well, if someone's out there inspired by this conversation,
any inventors,
send us some like umbrella
work on it.
Yeah. Innovation.
Do you feel like there are like no inventors these days? Like, who's an
inventors are so random.
No, I think there are inventors. People are inventing things all
people
the time.
People are engineers.
Name three.
All engineering is invention.
That's
like product
true.
Engineering.
That's
all
true.
All that Dyson shit is very high tech.
That's not an invention. Those existed. They just
Dyson
made it better.
Shit.
All that Dyson shit.
No, but
shit,
those aren't inventions. They just made it better.
That is what inventing is.
That's what inventions are. They're making a previous thing work better.
No, like you could make a
There's
new
no
thing.
There's no new thing.
You know, I used my brother's, I know you guys had these, the Oculus, but he had like he had a very new one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the coolest invention, I think, that's that I've seen in so long. I put that on my head and I was like, this feels like magic. It's kind wild. Of insane. That is an invention.
That is an invention. Do you want to know something funny though? Apparently, like, the Facebook metaverse has 1/3 of the like daily visitors of MySpace now. Like, today is MySpace.
Because what are they doing?
They're trying to make to it. Do. They're right, but because it's bad. Because they're trying to make it.
Well, because it's not developed yet.
What they did develop was very poorly developed.
It's not ready.
The metaverse. It looks like Mario 64.
Because it's not ready.
I'm talking about the Oculus.
Why even reveal that? The Oculus is used to access the metaverse.
Because you need users.
But that's not
test.
How I used it.
I know.
That's how engineering works. You need users to test so that you can develop a product to be better.
I would think they could make something look better than Duck Hunt. Like, I really just think they could.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I do really like Supernatural, the workout app.
It's a great app, but my thing expired, so now I have to like figure out how to...
It renewed on my
it does,
phone.
It weird, whatever. Maybe we'll send them to the lack of adventures to the Cayman Islands.
I'm going to send Mother Nature to the Cayman Islands.
Oh, she's going
to
come back for you.
Well.
Okay. I'm going to send God to the Cayman Islands.
Oh my God, blasphemy. Yeah.
Okay, should we close the loop on Spare?
I think we should close the loop.
I want to hear the rest of the book because you finished it, I assume?
I finished it, yes.
Okay. Has it been a long journey?
Yeah, it was not fun. Honestly,
did it get better towards the end?
It did get better.
Did you hate read it or did you like it?
Neither. Yeah. Like, I read it because I said I would. And once I felt bad leaving people hanging on my Instagram, honestly.
Do you feel like you've really gotten to know
Prince Harry? But not just through that book. Like, I feel like this isn't the first book I've read about them. Like, I also read a book by a biographer. I think I talked about it a while ago, Tom Bauer. I've obviously like, watched all the stuff. I feel like I do know them pretty well at this point.
Okay.
Ask me one particular question.
How did it end?
It ends with all the stuff that is sort of in the...
Did it get better or worse?
It got better.
Okay. How did it get better?
Because when he was talking, the second half was about things that we knew about and that I think he could remember better because he was older. Like
He wasn't making shit up anymore.
Right. Well, it's not even that he was making shit up in the first half. It's that he didn't have any like memories of before his mother died at all until he went to therapy when he was like 30. Mm. So I think that the first half of the book was like a lot of vague memories and impressions of things that are now colored by how he feels about them. Now,
What about the frostbitten penis part?
Oh my God. It was not just one part. It was through the frostbitten penis had the strongest narrative arc of anything in the movie.
Can you tell me the whole, because I keep saying that as a headline and I don't know what it means.
Okay, here's the deal. He went to the North Pole to go.
What is he, Santa?
Yes. He went on a trip to the North Pole with wounded veterans.
Okay, that's not funny.
Who want to hike the North Pole.
Yeah.
It was like right before Kate and William's wedding. And so he had to like, you know, you can't just like go to the North Pole and like make sure it's not just like, okay.
I really honestly didn't realize the North Pole was the real thing.
Yeah. It's like the pole.
I know it's the pole. Yeah.
So, but it's a little unpredictable. You can't just be like, oh, I'm definitely gonna make it back from my flight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you might get stuck in some weather, who knows what it is, or you can't hike, whatever. So he had like a deadline to get back by
the wedding.
Okay. The wedding. He made it back, as you know. But while he was hiking, so when you're at the North Pole, because it's so cold, if you sweat at all, it will freeze on your body.
Oh my God.
So like they have to walk like very slowly. They can't sweat. He said that he missed the tutorial on that, which he would, obviously. Yeah. Like, I want to know more about why he missed
Harry is a student.
We know. Okay. I also have more on that. One big point. So he got frostbitten and like his penis got frostbitten.
Because his penis sweat?
Because there was sweat around his, you know, there's sweat everywhere.
It's warm.
Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah. There's sweat everywhere. So so it's frostbitten. He's trying to, deal
like
with
the
that.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Like he had to get a cock cushion. His friend made him a cock cushion.
Why was
cushion.
This like integral to his autobiography?
It literally wasn't. It was just like, cool, at
the
wedding.
What's the
I
end
was,
of the story? Of the
He talked. Okay.
What was the point of the story?
There was
no, Sammy says
just
there's
to
no
like
point.
Let you know, okay. Like just to tell
in
you.
Case you missed
he
it.
Could have just like not. He could have left this whole thing out, and it wouldn't have mattered. But he mentions it like several times. Like he talks about going to a doctor, And
I feel like it's something he probably still talks about.
Clearly didn't affect his fertility.
He's the kind of guy who will like repeat a joke that he said because people said it was funny.
Like, yeah, and Gam Gam laughed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So he, poor boy. So he just is describing that it's like frostbitten at the wedding. He then goes back to military service and he has to do this like demo, or they do this like mock capturing of him, and they made them like strip to fake torture them or whatever. And he writes like, if only people had known what this penis had been
shut up.
Then there's one line that was like, this is my favorite line of the entire book, actually. It was like, the doctor told me that like time would, my todger would heal with time. So he was right. Like, the time had worked its magic on my todger, but would it work its way on my
todger?
Heart?
Yes. T-O-D-G-E-R.
It's like, what it's like in Friends, there's like dude flowering.
Yeah. Will it work its way on my heart?
Or in like Sex and the City, what do you call it? Like, my John Thomas?
Yeah, my John Thomas.
Yeah, it's like that.
Princess Sophia.
Like, so cringy.
Yeah, so he calls it, so he is calling it like my todger. He's referencing it frequently, even after, like, letting us know about the recovery.
He's talking about the circumcisions.
You're picking out, there's 400 pages.
I'm picking out only the penis references. The 2 out of 10 stories that he's,
well, they're very salient because it's like he didn't need to put them in. There's no point. Right. Okay. There's no point. So the circumcision was about, was relevant to this.
Okay.
Like, I think it would have been like, that's why he said he wasn't circumcised, because he was talking about how it got frostbitten.
To give more color to the other penis story.
No, it's all in one.
What did that have to do with William's circumcision?
Did he say if his pubic hair is red?
No, he left that out.
I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like that would be so.
See, that's what bothered me. Like, he left out
like
so many
things we were wondering.
Right. He left out a lot of details that I felt were embarrassing to himself. For example, he clearly made a scene at William and Kate's wedding when he saw his ex-girlfriend Chelsea. But all he says is like, "I really embarrassed myself that night." And
he's
or something.
Vague. Okay.
But like, why are you keeping that vague? Like,
wait, what, how do you know? How do you,
that's
what
people
what did he do?
Because he said, like, I acted a certain
what
way.
What was
that
the
night.
News of about it that he threw a ship?
Did he not know she was going to be there?
No, he knew.
So why? So what happened?
I'll find it. Hold
it's just
on,
a young lad.
Let me find
that's
it.
The stuff that's interesting.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the stuff he didn't put in. Like, let me just see, like,
if
which we put it
penis
in.
Penis is frostbitten. Like, after hiking in the North Pole, would you put that in your autobiography?
I don't think so.
Like, why?
Well, here's the, there's so many things in it that don't have importance to the point he was going to make. And that's why, like, last week I was trying to say, like,
sounds
he could
like
have waited and figured out what right. was. Well, it's like, there's a difference between a memoir where I think he could have done a memoir that was like some personal stuff, but also making a point about what he's trying to say about the monarchy. And
so did he say, make a point?
Yes, but it is colored by all of these other anecdotes.
What's
and
his
the
point?
His point that is that the press, but that the press is inhumane to him. But he also, like, the point that I think he's trying to make is not the point he made. I could have written this.
What's the point that he made? He needed a ghostwriter. He needed Teresa.
He did have a ghostwriter.
Yeah, he definitely had a,
No, I think that this is what he wanted to make the book. And
how is the book being reviewed? Is anyone giving it positive reviews?
Well, some people think it's well written. And I'm like,
well, that's not really a compliment.
Bravo Andy thinks it's well written.
Even if that's the case, that's not a particularly large compliment to him since he didn't write it.
Right. I mean, I think some people, I think one impression that has come out, and I do feel this way, is that it's easy to feel a lot of empathy for him as a human. Like, as a person, just who has been through the things he's been through. But when you think about him as a public figure, it's kind of like huge eye roll. And I will give you the one thing that actually really, let me just find this Chelsea thing. Hold on, because it's, okay. He says, okay.
Oh my God.
It was hard seeing Chelsea at Willie's wedding. There were loads of feelings still there, feelings I'd suppressed, feelings I hadn't suspected. I also felt a certain way about the hungry-looking men trailing after her, circling her, nagging her to dance. Jealousy got the better of me that night, and I told her so, which made me feel worse and a bit pathetic. I need he's like, tell us what you said!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed to move on, meet someone new, and here's my favorite line. Time, as the doctor predicted, would fix my todger. When would it work its magic on my heart?
Oh my God.
You know what's funny thinking about Prince Willie's wedding is like that's what he was doing, but we know where we were.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
In your room we're, in college at like 2 a.m.
I remember
watching.
It so well.
So, isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
There is one thing that to me stuck out and undermined the entire everything about what they're doing right now, which is that towards the end, he's talking about like why they need money and how they're going to move when they're moving to Montecito.
Okay.
And he mentions like they were going to try to get security once the palace pulled it. They got quoted like $6 million for security. I don't think that's like the set price, but a year.
Per year.
Then he reveals that he says we could use the inheritance from my mom, I felt that that belonged to my children and like that it wasn't mine to use. Okay, so there's that. Mm-hmm. And then I read in Tina Brown's review of the
Did
book.
Did she like it?
She seemed to. She's a real insider. Yes, I think she liked it, but she has complaints about
it.
Him.
Okay.
And the,
okay.
And she said that he also inherited money when his great-grand, when the queen mother died. So when Elizabeth's mother, which wasn't
wanting
long ago.
For money.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it is one thing if he said like we had spent that or there isn't as much as one might assume. But it's like you're talking about you're saying you need all this money.
Mm-hmm.
You need for this $14.5 million house, which he says was a steal. Mm-hmm. He says that it was a great deal.
Okay.
And people told them so.
Okay.
So they also told him to write this book, but whatever. So
You would have no fucking idea what's a good deal and what's not a good deal. How much could a banana cost, Michael? Harry.
Right. He says he like never used credit cards, never had cash, never did anything. Like he's not a normal person. He's an alien dropped into this world.
Right.
But fact that he would have this money, swear up and down that he hates the media, he wants to be private, and then won't use the probably at least a few tens of millions of dollars for this temporary period of your life
mm-hmm.
to like fund where to live so you can be a little bit more private for a few years. It's like, what are you talking about? This is your inheritance for your kids. The inheritance was for you. Your kids are going to be able to go to college and like right. be normal people-ish and get jobs. Like, you're the one who needs the money right now. Instead, you're selling yourself out to and the
your
media.
Not just yourself, but your entire family.
Right, like go They're use the inheritance. Go does use the inheritance. He's like, we didn't want to touch that. It's like,
did he say why?
Because he felt that it would, he said, we didn't want to touch that because we felt that, or I felt that that belonged to Archie and their unborn daughter who they just found. But it's like, you, she gave it to you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, why do they need it? Why do they need $30 million?
They're the ones who are going to be able to get normal jobs. That's the whole point. The whole thing is he's complaining, I can't make money and I can't be private and I have to trade on this name because I need to be able to fund my life and my security. It's like, you don't, why don't you just take a year, use some of your money that's set aside. It's not going to like completely go
as long as there's still some left for the kids. I get that because like they don't know what the future is like, and that what they do know is like that they do have some clout to make money off of. So like, why not make as much now while they're like hot, so that like there is some money because
I think they would. I think
I'm not defending them by any means.
I understand that, but let's say it's like $20 to $30 million, which is kind of what I feel it probably is.
For them, that's like, you know, 1 year.
Okay. But it doesn't, well,
because
you know
they
what?
Choose to live like that.
But you know what? It doesn't need to be. That's the thing. Right. Like they choose, if they choose, if he really wanted privacy and low key.
Yeah. He could be like everyone else who gets their privacy and doesn't have $30 million.
Well, here's the thing. He could live with privacy, with security, like with that amount of money. And then why don't, I think you're saying like, oh, they wanted to do it while they were hot. I think that they just destroyed. I think this book is actually the worst thing that they've ever done.
Yeah.
And I think that he, if he had waited, they still would have been just as hot.
There's no mystery. There's right. zero mystery.
People would have been eager to hear from them. Yeah. And they still would have bought the book. This book is like the most commercially successful book. Well, like ever, I think.
How much money did he make? What was his advance?
I don't know, but I'm sure. Now I'm sure they don't
have
enough.
But what are they going to do with
not
the
enough.
More, right, with all
publish
this
it themselves.
Money? I don't know. I think they're so lame.
Are they going to bind the books?
Yeah. They're just like licking the binding Seinfeld. No, that's envelopes.
I think they should have waited.
Yeah.
And I don't, it would have sold just as much. They would have had safety, security, privacy, money.
And they wouldn't have created even more of like a shitty relationship between him, them, and Kate and William.
And then maybe
I
they,
assume
if
they
he needed
never
money,
go back.
Yeah, they're pissed.
I mean, after this, how could you ever go back? Apparently.
I wouldn't let them back if it was my brother, personally.
I wouldn't either because
stay
but
in
I might have.
America's.
But I would have maybe if the documentary were the last thing.
Yeah, I agree. Because they didn't really go after them there.
There was nothing new in there. This was just like deeply embarrassing
just like,
and personal.
The reason you get part of the trade off is like, oh, you come from this family, and yeah, the media part of it is really terrible. But like part of the trade off for getting this like $60 million and living this life with all these access and connections, is that. Like that is part of the trade off. And
but here's the thing. He didn't choose to be part of this trade.
But he is choosing to still be part of it by still releasing all this stuff. So it's like he can't say I didn't choose to be part of it while choosing to continue to be part of it.
Well, that's why I'm saying his point to me is not like wrong. Like the point he's trying to make that he didn't, in my opinion, make effectively is right. But I think to your point, like he has money. Imagine if anyone even pretty successful was like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I only have $30 million and I need to go live a quiet life away from the media. Like that, you're fine, you know?
Right.
And that's why I think it's just so hypocritical.
And another part of that comes with being in this family, like again, and like that's part of what gives you access to the money, and the family is different than the media. Part of the rules for being in the family are that you're very, very discreet. So to me, it just seems like that's like the biggest, like that's their number. That's like their main rule. To me, there's like a lot of rules, but their number one rule is like shit is not for like all public consumption. Like we're private. That seems like a big rule within the family.
So yes, except not really. That's not really true within the family. Within the family, one thing I felt was very interesting. They the family members all have their own press offices, and they essentially like will jockey against each other and like sell stories about other family members so that they can get better stories written about themselves. So like, yeah, everyone has to be discreet from their own mouths, but they have like people working for them and undermining
them. Their whole existence is in exchange for press. It's like just an agreement with the media. The only thing that they have to be like hum quiet about is like they can't respond to any like paparazzi asking them questions. They have to like be
they're also
like,
not
no
talking
comment.
Shit about each other.
They talk shit about each other in
to the press,
but not
to the press,
but
through
not,
stories,
but not like through their work. They're not like releasing statements that are like
it's
for
more
instance,
backstabbing.
William is not like now going to be like releasing a statement refuting all of Harry's claims. Like that's not what's done there.
But instead,
and he knows that the queen did what? Was said recollection. Remember when they had the Oprah interview, like, and it was a big deal. The queen said, like, recollections may vary.
Right. But well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's also seems so fucked up and unfair. It's like he's insulting and he's like, he's airing all this shit about someone that really can't defend themselves.
But I don't.
Well, his point is that, like,
he's going to defend himself in another way.
He's like, I didn't choose to be part of this arrangement. And his point is that it is inhumane that people essentially have to be like, you're born into this and it's, you don't really get a choice regardless. Like both, he's both not allowed to like have a career and kind
that's
of
what Prince Philip used to
say in
said
trouble.
In the
right. And like in trouble and like mocked for not having one. So it's like, it's not that he's like a leech. It's that he's not allowed to be independent is what he says.
But also then go leave, like go host a podcast like Meghan's hosting where you're not, it's not about you. It's not about your family.
I mean, Meghan's podcast is about her. It's about her. It's about her, and it is about the royal family. It's just that's why I'm like, she has
just like backhanded. And also, Prince William would be able to retaliate. They retaliate through like press about the other ones, like without saying I'm defending myself. They would just like release bad shit about Harry and Meghan. Like
it's not the same though. It's not from his point of view. And there's no like, there's no direct evidence that he's like. That's from him specifically as opposed to his team.
But Harry knows and Harry's his brother.
I still think it's like very like cowardly, like under backhanded move.
I don't support it.
I think that there's more nuance.
When he's also born into it too. They're all born into it.
I think there's more nuance
but he gets
in, in the way that the, like I hear what you're saying, but like in the way it actually works in reality, it's way more nuanced than like what gets spoken outwardly in the press. And his point is that like, people say, we have to be quiet and reserved and we don't respond. But like they all actually do respond and they all are just doing it in their own way set up to like.
But not in the first person like he's doing. That's why he gets so much press. That's why it's so strong, because he's saying it's coming from me. It's coming from my voice. I'm writing this book. This is my firsthand account. No one else is giving a firsthand account. That's why no one else is making millions of dollars off of their stories.
Well, they're not trying to leave the royal family. But to be in the royal family is a process of just like. But sniping through the press.
And at the same time, William could do the same thing, but he's choosing not to because he gets to be king. Like,
no,
so
I think he's choosing not to because he also respects the family.
No, it's because he's king.
Because no one else is releasing statements. All Prince Charles's brothers and sisters are not releasing statements.
They're part of royalty.
They could release their own statements if they
first
wanted
of all,
to.
It was, first of all, the press is completely different now. The way that Harry and William were affected by the press is completely different to how Queen Elizabeth and her siblings and her kids were affected by the press. It just wasn't the same thing back in the day where there's a 24-hour news cycle and your physical being is being chased. Like that was not, like Queen Elizabeth was not being chased.
If they wanted to wait it out, they could be more under the radar. No one cares about Charles' siblings now. No one cares about them.
That's not true. I think as an American.
To the same extent, not at all.
Charles' siblings?
Not at all. See, most people don't even
know. Andrew and Edward. No.
Charles' siblings, not
people.
Phillip.
If you care about Charles' siblings, if you're like,
Andrew.
Really. What you see is what penetrates into like American zeitgeist, but people do care. Like, we're Americans watching this. British people are very much care about Princess Anne and know that
they
she's
left
like
Britain.
The hardest.
They don't. They could just live here and be under the radar.
But they didn't
and
just leave in a vacuum. They lived this whole life and they left because of that life.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, they could leave, be quiet for a few years, people will kind of forget about them and live their private life. I don't think people would care that much if they didn't insert themselves into the story.
I think they all agree about that.
I mean, that was my whole point with the inheritance, that he could have just used the inheritance quietly.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So clearly the press doesn't bother him that much that he doesn't want it also.
Well, one of his psychologists actually said, like, you have an addiction to the press. Like, you have an addiction to reading it. I'm an addiction to responding to it. You have an addiction to correcting it.
He's on Royal Snark.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's like, it's the same with any influencer when you're like constantly getting it, and especially from day one.
I don't think it's that he's addicted to necessarily getting it as much as he's addicted to like reading it, controlling it,
it controls your life and all your actions, the way that like they probably when he was growing up, and I'm saying this from what I think, not from what it said in the book, because I did not read it, but I assume that like you're constantly being told how you should act in public constantly because this person said this said that. And so that like is the way that you are.
I mean, he says he like it was not acceptable for him to have like cried or held his father's hand at his mother's funeral. And he only cried once in his whole life until he was like on vacation with Cressida Bonus when he was older. He only cried once. That was while his mother was being like buried physically, like during the lowering of the coffin.
Yeah.
So, and I think like we're saying press like, oh, the Reddit threads, you know, the commenters. His relationship with the press is so different than any one of us could understand because, like, in Britain, they're basically sold out to the press by the taxpayers, and there's, like, this complicit agreement about it. And he also associates the press with killing his mother.
Yeah.
So, like, it's so much more than just, like, I'm addicted to seeing my name in print. It's, like,
he worked this out through therapy. He should have written this draft and brought it to his therapist.
That's what I was saying last week.
And they should have worked it out together and lived in a pretend world where this came out. And she should have been like, and Harry, how do you feel now that this...
Like, in the office?
Let's write out some... like that PJ Novak gave Creed. Yeah. Let's write out some fake headlines Harry about what... what it says about you. And then he would write them. And then the therapist be like, well, I read it differently. So what if you got these? And it would just be like an exercise. And
you know, I think what he needs is some advice from us. They want money.
So he's not welcome at the BAFTA Tea Party?
No.
I didn't know what that was.
Prince William's, it's like a British Film and Television Association, I think.
Okay.
So Harry's, so Prince William is the president of BAFTA because it's, you know, British. It's one of his like patronage positions. And basically, the Tea Party was, I believe, in L.A. this past week, and the executives of BAFTA felt that an invitation was a mistake. Quote, for them to roll out the red carpet to Harry and his wife would be like setting off a nuclear bomb. It's a no-go. So Harry's received his first diss from his brother. Harry responded also this week. I don't know which one came first, but he basically said that the original draft of this book was double the length. And he edited portions out about his father and his brother. The first draft was different with a total of 800 pages. God, what was in there?
His morning routine. Right.
Literally, he gets
hey guys, I wake up. I get my toenails polished and buffed. When I read this and I hear he goes to the North Pole, I just feel like he just reminds me of like Buddy the Elf.
He also went to the South Pole.
Yeah, like he's just like a caricature. He's like Michael Scott / Buddy the Elf. Like he's just
he's a bubble boy.
Doesn't sound like his stories are that interesting.
You know what I think is really if you watch The Prince on HBO.
Oh no, I know. I
was not sure if all of the representations, like the cartoon representations of the characters, were real. Like I was like, there's no way Kate is like that. I actually think all of those.
What was she like
She was like a robot who was like miserable.
I can see that.
Yeah, and I And now I'm like, oh, they actually, I was like, really? Is she so miserable? Yeah.
I bet.
I think that is the best representation of the royal family that anyone could have made. It's so funny. I'm going
to
go home and watch
it. I wonder what's going to happen to it.
I think it's going to be gone after William.
I think it's got to end. It just doesn't.
The British people, I feel like, really like it.
Yeah. But then like the new generation of British people don't like it.
I feel like it's still like way, it's like pretty. Vast majority,
Gen
isn't it?
Gen Z Brits like it?
I think so. I think most people still like are pro like those votes frequently.
But the younger people can't vote
yet. I think that
polls, not votes, not like legal votes.
I think that there will be like a concept of a monarch, but I don't think it's going to necessarily be like funded by the taxpayers at this level. And I, even though it's really not that costly to each individual taxpayer, I think that the dynamic will have to change, because I don't think that this press and the curtain has been pulled back, and it's like lost its luster through this book. I think maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe he like sacrificed himself to get rid of this, to just chip away.
He didn't sacrifice himself. He made millions of dollars.
Sacrifice.
There's other things, you know, his reputation.
He sacrificed his reputation to chip away at the press.
He doesn't think he sacrifices.
I don't think he thinks so. I think he thinks he looks great.
I'm trying to give him a little bit of a benefit of the doubt.
I do believe you.
He's like, if I can't make any more money off of The Crown, no one will.
Yeah.
No, I think
it's only one more season.
Everyone. Oh, The Crown. Well, yeah. Little Harry. I also think that
I think he's kind of a brat. If I'm not going to be part of it, the whole thing, I'm going to bring the whole thing down. If I can't be part of it, forget everyone.
He doesn't seem like that set on bringing it down. He seems like he thinks that it can be reformed. Another thing I think that plays into this is that like they own the Commonwealth. I think that probably in the next generation, the Commonwealth countries are going to be like, bye, we're not part of this anymore.
Peace out.
And then the monarchy will have to change its meaning because they're no longer going to be collecting taxes. So it's like
it'll change.
It'll change. I don't know how exactly, but I just don't see it lasting like another full two generations.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Should we talk about some TV or something else that happened besides this?
Because, Traitors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you guys go.
Speaking of Traitors.
Okay.
I didn't finish it. I fell asleep last night like with half the episode of the finale left. I was watching it to finish it for this episode, but I passed out.
So are we not going to share what happened?
Please don't tell me what happens in the end. But there's a whole season to discuss. And I almost wish it came out episode by episode because I wanted to talk about every
little thing. People would have loved that. Maybe next year.
Okay, first of all, what did you...
Should we explain it?
You explain it.
Okay, so there's a show on Peacock. It's called The Traitors. It's kind of like a game show. If anyone's ever played the game... I know the game by the name Mafia. I know that it goes by other names, though. And it's basically like an old camp game. You probably need like 15-ish people. And essentially, like a few people are designated as like the Mafia. You don't know anyone else in the game knows who they are. Or in this case, it's the traitors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they basically, like, the traitors will try to kill.
And they're chosen by like a game moderator.
Game master.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's Alan Cumming in the show, which was like so funny.
He was so
unreal. Is that
good
his real voice?
Also, does he not sound exactly like Moira Rose?
Yeah, I see that.
Every time he's like, oh, my little whatever. It sounds exactly. And then I'm like,
my little traitors.
That's what Moira's voice is. It's sort of like an exaggerated Scottish accent. It's so, when I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh my God, Moira.
Is Alan Cumming Scottish?
There's no way he's playing an act.
I thought he might be, but I don't know. Some, like, because any Holly, a lot of stuff. He is. This is him, right? Like, he's playing himself.
He's great.
He's so great. What a gem.
Great.
My grandmother loved Alan Cumming. I guess I do too.
Yeah. Also funny because he's AC, Andy Cohen, Bravo, NBC. I love that for them.
Oh, so I mean, this is the best thing that I think Peacock has done in a really long time. I feel like they could maybe have the next Survivor on their hands if they play it right. Basically, they take a bunch of reality stars, Bravo people, and a mix of regular people, just normies, and they throw them in this house. Some of them are designated traitors.
Scottish castle.
Yeah. Oh, right. The house. It's a Scottish castle. Duh.
It's beautiful.
It's really cool.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy.
So the goal is for the regular people to figure out who the traitors are. The traitors are acting like regular people.
Yeah.
And the traitors are trying to kill, quote unquote, aka get them out, the regular people. And then at the end, whoever's left can split the cash prize of $250,000.
Right.
And they play challenges to get through each episode and see how much money is going to go into the pot.
Yeah,
and the traders want to
see. Kyle from Summer House is on it. Brandi Glanville was on it.
Kate Chastain,
who I didn't
Ari
watch.
Ari Luyendek.
Ari, great.
Yeah, great on this show.
Great on this show. Aging great.
Aging better than yeah.
Because you know why? Because he already had gray hair.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. They also, if you watch Survivor, Suri was on it. A bunch of people from Big Brother, Cody, and Rachel.
I didn't watch those, but
I didn't either, but I was watching with my mom and she like watches everything. So yeah. She knew who they were. And then like normies who were just like normal regular people.
And that was all very, it was cast.
So and well.
When you first watch it, you're like, weird cast. But then
Ryan Lochte?
Yeah. Oh, Ryan Lochte was the best in the whole. I wish, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I forgot how funny he was. He just brought such lightness. And just, he's just dumb, but like in such a great way.
Yeah.
And he's just like a little cute boy.
They really did a great job casting this with people who are like a lot, but not gonna take over the whole thing in a bad way.
And like care about playing a game.
Right. Even like Brandi was she was good at being herself without taking it too far and ruining the whole vibe.
Right, without turning it into like a housewives
prop
thing.
Yeah.
Kate was a little shaky, but then
Kate was like the best character, sort of.
But
I don't know what it would have been without her.
Yeah.
But also, I think
it would have sucked.
Right, but I feel like they didn't. Maybe, I don't know if it would have sucked, but like I think she really enhanced it. And I wonder like to what extent she was sort of like being serious versus
what I think she was necessary for was like to keep the Bravo fans who are watching this because they have Peacock. Like the most people who have Peacock are the ones who want to watch the Ultimate Housewives show.
Right.
So they're the ones who have Peacock and therefore they need to get, they want to keep watching Traitors. If it wasn't like any of these people, no one would give a shit. And
maybe
I didn't even watch
like
Below Deck to know Kate, but her vibe was so Bravo-y that it kept me watching. I was like, this is ridiculous. And I also was so intrigued by the people. Like the one guy, who did I tell you? Quentin.
Yeah.
Who was he? Was he a reality guy or is he a regular guy?
He's like a regular guy who I think like does like political rants on TikTok and stuff.
He was, every single thing that he said was just absolutely wrong. And that was so funny to me because he's like, I have this theory. Now hear me out. This is it. This is the theory. And then he says like two, three people that are traitors. And you're like, no, you dumbass. It was so good.
I thought one of the funniest parts was Kate's rivalry with Rachel and how she's like, well, I wouldn't wear what you're wearing. So you have bad judgment.
Trust your judgment. Yeah, it was all great. The challenges were like, okay. They were like unnecessary.
They could have been shorter.
They could have been shorter, but they need to kill time.
Right. Well, I thought, why didn't they do more time like in the house?
Yeah.
Maybe there's just not that much to talk about.
Yeah. I need more like strategy.
Yeah, we know you love strategy.
I love like when they like talk about, and the thing that I thought was interesting was the people who did get it right got voted out really fast. And I mean, that says a lot about the traitors because they're playing a good game.
Yeah.
I just fucking loved it.
Yeah, no,
I was surprised about how much I liked it.
Oh, I by the time I heard about it, I was like, wow, this, I'm going to devote my life to the show. And I want to go on the show, honestly. Like, I would love to go on that show.
With the exception of the creepy, spooky, disgusting challenges.
Oh, I would just sabotage that one. I don't care. Sorry, I'm not having maggots on me. Like, you can't. I don't care. I'll just not win.
Yeah, like, I didn't sign up for, what's that?
I'll do hard challenges, just not.
What's that really awful one where, Fear Factor. Like, I would never sign up for Fear Factor. Yeah,
no,
that's
just, no. I would just
live in enough fear in my regular day life.
I think I would be pretty bad at this game, though. But I don't care. I would enjoy it. Aileen, you'd probably be good at it.
I don't know.
I think you would be.
I feel like, I don't, maybe I would be a good trader, but I think that the stress would kill me.
Yeah, but it's like a game.
Yeah, but you get voted out for saying that.
Right. The funniest I thought was when, like, some of them were just really serious and were acting like to be a traitor meant you were an actual traitor. Yeah. In real, like, that was your personality.
Yeah.
Or that if you were killing someone, like, they were going to die.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, guys, you're just. It's just well, I think they didn't like that Kate was like, it's just a game.
Yeah.
But she, that's what made it good.
Yeah. Right. It was really good.
Bring it back and put us on it.
I don't know if you don't want to be on TV.
Yeah, but you're not talking about yourself. You're literally just talking about the game.
The other thing that I like thought was really refreshing about watching this, it was like a reality show that was entertaining and it didn't have people in bathing suits. It was just like regular people with like a diverse set of bodies.
Yeah,
where it was. Like you can wear a sweater because we're in like Scotland and it's foggy as fuck. And it's great.
It was also focused on the game. Like, which there wasn't so much like personal bullshit. Same. Like, I love that there wasn't like personal bullshit. Like, I don't like them. It's like, if they had an argument, it was about the game, which I felt was very professional.
Yes.
And I just really
with the exception of Kate turning it about the outfits. That was like the one petty, you took it too far, Kate. While funny.
It was just like, we're not here to insult you. That's not what this, we're here for.
And then obviously the producers, which we discussed yesterday, had a chat with her that one day where she turned into a different person.
That's our guess that she turned it around because the producers told her to stop.
Yeah. She didn't just wake up and be like, I'm going to be in a good mood for the rest of this show.
I really enjoyed Kyle Cook on it.
Same.
He's great for a show like this.
He even said, I saw him post that like, I'm so used to waking up after like my show airs and like just like so much hate about me. And for the first time, when the show airs, there's so much like praise and like positive things said. And it's so nice. Like, that's such a nice feeling. And it's because it's not about like the personalities or drama. It's about the game and how like the producers or the creators created like a good, actually good show that doesn't rely on just like petty bullshit.
Exactly. So I'm actually thinking like it, though, so. we're going to change my murder mystery party and we're going to do a traitor's party instead.
Traitor's party. Okay.
Because I just think it's easier than like everyone has to dress up and be like, okay, like pretend to be a person.
You have to think through the logistics of that.
I can do that.
Okay.
I've played this game.
You just sit a circle.
We don't even need to sit. We can stand. Like, everyone will get their thing and then we're going to play and then we'll play. That'll be the game. That'll be the party.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, extra dark brews, sours, hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Should we end with Kim Kardashian and her purchase of?
Oh, speaking of Princess Diana, yeah. Or not at all.
What did she buy?
She bought Princess Diana's cross that hasn't been worn since she died.
Who owns it?
I don't probably know. Like Sotheby's.
Yeah,
like, but like who?
Like it probably
no.
Is,
Sotheby's doesn't own it. No, Sotheby's must
Sotheby's
own
sold it.
So Sotheby's is the right, broker.
But on behalf of some, on behalf of whoever owns
maybe
it.
Maybe it,
it's probably Megan selling it, just see shadily.
It's really funny that there's one meme that was like, it was Kim Kardashian at Dead Celebrities Memorabilia Store. And it's like a picture of Lois from Family Guy, like just like shadily stealing things. Like
why was it there for all this time?
Yeah, maybe one of the grandkids wants it. Maybe, maybe Charlotte's got her eye on it.
Kate's probably like,
not for us.
Yeah. Why is she getting trolled? Just because she like bought it?
Because she bought it and it's like ridiculous that she's just like going at, why is she buying Princess Diana's like cross?
That like, seems like something she
just
would do.
Just buy too a regular money. Cross.
That seems like something she would
like,
do.
Like why Princess Diana?
Because she likes to feel special. She clearly special. Likes, like,
she wants to be an icon.
Yeah.
Clearly that was the Marilyn Monroe dress thing. She's trying to like get into icon by wearing the clothes of icons.
Icon
she hopes to be an icon.
People who are so, so rich and have like unlimited funds at that point, they don't, like money doesn't mean anything to them. So they need like exclusivity. They need to feel like something is really, really like
special
yes. Or just one of a kind. In order, that's why, you know, they love
it
all
is
the
one
NFTs.
Of a kind.
Well, I started watching Yellowstone and one quote from that show really stood out to me, which is that you can't buy authenticity.
True.
It's the one thing you can't buy. And they were talking about like, you know, how rich people come there and they should make a, it's just like one of the first few episodes. They're like, we should make like a rodeo because like the rich people who visit like want to like see like an authentic thing. And they're like, no, you can't like buy.
You have to like be a cowboy.
You have to be that.
Yeah.
You can't just like buy a cowboy hat and think that makes you like a cowboy.
But you can support the local economy by swindling rich people into thinking that they're being authentic.
That's true, but they're not. It's not actually right.
Wait, what do you, so you only, you just started Yellowstone?
I just started. I've only watched like two or three episodes.
Oh, I like it.
It's good.
It's very, it becomes super soap opery, but I still like it.
Okay.
Because it's fucked up.
I didn't watch it.
And like Kevin Costner's voice just gets lower and lower every
season. As every season.
Like just deeper and deeper. And now he just straight up sounds like Batman. But he won a Golden Globe for it.
Right. Unless you go to Kemosabe, in which case you can buy authenticity.
I wish like, they didn't put that on The Housewives. It sort of ruined it for me in my head.
Oh,
don't worry. I'll buy another one, though.
Totally. I agree.
I love their hats. Not a real cowgirl?
No, I just love those hats. And now I just like associate them with
Kathy
Kyle.
Hilton?
With like just like ickiness, but I love the hats. They just are the best.
Yeah. Well, now it's a little bit of a tourist.
Here's the thing. It's not, those hats aren't from, like, they're sold at Kemosabe, but they're like just Stetson hats, which are like real cowboy hats.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe I need to go to a real cowboy store next time.
Yeah.
Where do you find those?
All Texas. Over the South.
Not in the Aspen marketplace.
Texas.
Yeah, Texas. Oh, there's one more show that we just watched, The Last of Us, but there's really not much to say because it's only been one episode. Although.
Who is us?
People, humanity. It's about, it's like an apocalypse.
Us.
Yes.
Apocalypse
everyone.
Type show. You know the daughter that plays the main guy's daughter?
Daughter, yeah.
Did you look up who she is?
No, who is she?
Do you not think she looks extremely familiar when you watched it?
I didn't think extremely familiar.
First of all, she was the most beautiful human being I've ever seen. And I was like, I need to understand who she is. She looks so familiar to me. So I Googled it. It was really an easy process. But she's Tandy Newton's daughter.
Who is Tandy Newton?
She's the woman from Westworld.
I never watched that.
What else is she from?
I don't know. Any non-action
I'm
movies?
I'm just going to Google it for
you. Is she
you.
From any
yeah,
non-action
she's,
movies?
She's an
her name
older.
Is spelled differently than it's pronounced. It's spelled, it's spelled
it's
like...
spelled Thandy, but it's yeah. Tandy. She's British.
She looks familiar.
You don't even know who that is? No wonder.
I don't watch like action movies.
Okay.
She's in others.
She... Okay, so when I figured it out, I was like, oh my God, this child looks exactly like her mother and also happens to be so fucking beautiful. I could not stop staring at her. But then the show devolved and it got really dark. But I like it. Apparently, what Rusty was watching, he was like, this is based on this is a video game. I don't
think
understand.
It is a video
game. And so he was on
game,
TikTok
yeah.
afterwards. It's like, yeah, it is a video game.
The
and
Last
then it gets really interesting.
Game?
Yeah.
It has like, what was that movie that everyone loved with like, they keep your eyes open?
Bird Box.
I never watched
it. It has like Bird Box vibes.
It's like Walking
you never
Dead.
Watched Bird Box? That nah. was so good.
Bird Box is good.
That was like the most.
I wouldn't watch it again.
I don't want to watch
it. You don't want to watch it.
It's just like it was
you're not gonna feel good.
It was just like Walking Dead. Also, I felt like you know the main woman character who's like now in the apocalypse. The main woman. All right, I'm not gonna. You don't know any actor.
The main woman who's in the apocalypse.
Yeah, she's like in Mindhunter, and she also looks
the one
just
who's,
like
the one the kid who's from Game of Thrones.
No, the main woman. The woman.
I don't know who she is.
She watched the show. Who is she?
She's just a person from Mindhunter, but I was just thinking about how she looks like
who's
so.
Who's watching Mindhunter?
I watched Mindhunter.
You
so good.
It's like
no, a lot of people
who
watch Mindhunter.
Clearly, we're not in this genre.
This is not
a lot of people do watch Mindhunter.
My point is that she looks just like so many actors. Do you know that actress?
This is gonna go far.
You know that actress called.
Are they in a romantic comedy? Because maybe I'll know them then.
Do you watch Leftovers?
No.
Oh, I watched it like
Carrie
once.
Coon.
Yeah. Oh, from Gilded
she looks
Age.
Exact. Yes. She looks yeah. exactly like Carrie Coon. Oh, I couldn't
yeah,
stop.
The Gilded Age, the one who's New Money.
Oh, that's from, she's from.
That's not actually her, but
she's
she
from
looks
Gone
just
Girl.
Like her.
That's what I know her
yes.
from.
Carrie Coon yes. is from Gone Girl.
Yeah, she's the sister.
Ben Affleck's sister, Margot. Go.
Oh, okay, now would you agree to me that
okay.
she looks just like her?
Very different role. No, I don't see it.
Okay, she also looks just like the
should we play the movie
the
game?
Trainer.
I feel like I
from
could win.
Supernatural.
Aileen's just playing with Aileen's playing the movie game with herself.
Yeah, I don't
right
know
now.
The trainer.
No one else is participating.
Like, no one else is participating.
Oh, doesn't she? Oh, you don't even watch. I need
no,
to get off
I
the
do,
show.
I don't watch whatever you were just talked about, but I do Leanne on Supernatural.
Yeah.
I have
because there's really nothing much to talk about the show because it's only been one episode, so all I can talk about is who the actors look like. Mm.
I don't know if I'm going to watch The End of Humanity. I don't need that. I have enough ideas in my own head.
I feel like I liked the first episode. I feel like I'm going to like it less as the season goes on. But
it's never
I watched some like TikToks about the show, and I think it's supposed to get like more interesting so it's not like every other zombie show.
Not another zombie movie?
Yeah, essentially. Or movie or show, Walking Dead. I was like, how is this not exactly like Walking Dead?
You know, like once you have a zombie, like you're in the zombie genre. It's not going to be that different.
We'll see.
Okay.
This one is about fungi. It's not bacteria.
Ew, yeah.
Or
it's not bacteria. It's fungi.
Yeah.
It's a different. It's very fungus centered.
I don't
it's
like.
It's a different
that.
Kingdom.
So if you're not into fungus,
I'm not into
it's
mushrooms.
Probably not. Are you not into mushrooms?
You know, I don't like mushrooms.
No, like the other kind of mushrooms.
Shroom chocolate.
Yeah.
It's not mushrooms.
It's still psilocybin, which is a mushroom. Type of it's of the animal of the kingdom fungi.
This doesn't say that on the package.
It's like mushrooms.
I like that's mushrooms
fine. I don't
the food or the drug
the food
right.
I could do love like a mushroom. I could do like
cream of mushroom
like,
soup.
This is not
you could put that into in a casserole.
I but that
why
is not
it about fungi. Ew.
That's like they're basically
that's what yeah.
I think I heard that fungi are like the most like possibly the most like complex and advanced.
That's
like,
why.
Did
yeah.
you tell me that?
Yeah, I think you all, did you watch the documentary about fungi?
No, definitely not.
I also took a class at school. No, there's a
did
famous,
you watch
there's
the,
a real,
did
like,
you even it, watch the documentary about fungi?
No.
There's a Netflix documentary. It's got like 100% or like 99%. And it's all about fungi. It's like the extraordinary.
I feel like the people who watched it
also,
are the types who knew.
I also took
like
a
it.
Class at Cornell called like
that.
The magical.
I remember that. It was called Magic Mushrooms.
Fuck that.
It was called Magic Mushrooms because they wanted people to think it'd
so
be like
hard.
Fun.
No,
it but
was
it was
so
actually
hard.
Just like a horrible science class.
It was just like a science class about like the whole kingdom and I learned nothing because I thought it was going to be fun.
Why are fungi so prep like so
fuck
important?
Horror.
I've been rewatching a lot of The Hills.
Okay.
And the non-fungi related
speaking
TV
of cream
show.
Of mushroom soup. Who are we sending to the Cayman?
The weather? The umbrellas? The current umbrellas? It has to be a person.
I think it's Prince. No.
Is it Harry?
It's the book.
Let's send him one more time. His editor. Let's just send off Harry one more time.
I don't want to send Harry. It's not exciting. What else did we talk about?
Truly not.
Traitors? Traitors?
Traitors was great. No one should go from there. Sammy wants to send all non-existent inventors to
there's so many good inventors. Let's not slam the inventor community.
No, we need the inventors. We need the inventors to be on our side.
Okay, yeah, someone just developed a vaccine recently, which was potentially helpful.
Okay, I know who I'll send. That's a sign.
Potentially.
That's an invention.
Sort of. They already had the technology.
Yeah, it was already invented.
So let's just Sammy go in a room full of the at Moderna and discuss that. Hello. No one's invented anything good in years.
The mRNA technology was invented long before the vaccine. Okay, I know who I think we should send. We haven't brought up the story yet, but Alec Baldwin and the armorer on Rust were both charged today with 2 counts of involuntary manslaughter. For
the person who arms people.
Yeah, they're armorer.
They're like the armor.
Yeah,
they can't.
Like the person.
So like there's the person who handles like all firearms and weapons on a set is supposed to be like making sure that like no one else touches it.
That, I would say that seems like probably the crux of the entire job, right?
Yeah. Well, they apparently told him that something wasn't loaded when it was, and that's kind of their entire job. So they charge both the armorer and Alec Baldwin with involvement.
It sounds like it's a little bit more the fault of the armorer, does it not?
Well, that's what we're going to learn from the trial.
Is this
going to go to trial?
Like if someone says it's not loaded to you, and he's the person, that's their whole job is to tell you if it's loaded or not, and they're like, it's not loaded, wouldn't you be like, okay, I believe you.
Is there going to be 2 different trials? Is it going to be like that?
Well, I'm sure they might like plea out.
I don't want to send Alec Baldwin. It sounds like I'm sending the armorer.
I also, they're not guilty yet.
True.
Yeah.
True.
But innocent until.
But it does seem like, again, like
the person died.
Yeah.
Even though it was an accident.
It seems then they shouldn't go to the Cayman Islands.
Think about what they did.
I want to go to Cayman Islands.
No, they're selling timeshares. They're selling timeshares. Remember, they're not just going on a vacation.
I just want to send the armorer.
What if we send them both together?
Oh, because I don't know if Alec Baldwin has necessarily done anything wrong.
Here's the thing. If they charge both of them.
They charge them.
I kind of feel
like.
But
they're also probably charging the richest person too. Because that's usually like.
He was a producer. So it's not just that he was like
because maybe because he hired the armorer.
He was an executive producer on the movie. So like he was both the boss and the shooter and the actor.
It's a lot of culpability
like,
there.
Come on.
I don't know. I need to see the evidence.
Liability or culpability?
Liability.
Just think it like would suck if someone whose job it was to tell you if things were loaded told you something wasn't loaded and then it was.
Here's the thing. Like you're.
Put it in the burn book.
I don't know. I want more info, but I just. I think they're both good. For me, I want to send them both. They're going to sell the timeshares.
Right. I'll send the
umbrellas.
In case it's a rainy season. In case it's the rainy season.
I just don't like to carry them.
You can't buy a timeshare from an umbrella.
I don't like to find the guy who invented umbrellas.
The guy who invented umbrellas. Like,
he's pretty good. He's helped you out a few times, I think.
I don't know. I'll send myself to the Caymans.
You want to sell the timeshares?
I would. Like, I need a vacation.
Kayleen will do anything.
I really need a vacation.
You want to go?
I feel stressed.
You can keep the armor.
Do you see what my sweatshirt says?
Stress.
Send me
shopbetches.com. Yeah. Check this out.
If you feel stressed as well.
Oh, and if you want more royal talk, you can't get enough. Listen to Crown Jewels. We put a preview in this feed. Should be under this episode. But it's also Crown Jewels in your podcast apps.
People are loving it.
It's really, I enjoy it a lot because I fucking love royal shit.
Yeah.
And there needed to be a place for it to all go.
Agreed. That's it for this week at Betches Podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
And follow me at Sammy. And please be sure to rate, review, and follow our show on Apple or Spotify. It really makes us very happy when we read the reviews. And we will talk to you next week on the At Betches Podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.